Lisa Killinger describes herself as an Iowa girl, born in Clinton, raised in the Quad Cities, educated at Iowa State. Her family was Episcopalian. She says she wasn't disgruntled with her faith growing up, just curious about what else was out there.
I was, I think, from the age of 16, kind of searching and exploring spiritual paths, and I was very interested in reading about world religions.
So off to college she went. And by the time she finished, she had become one of a small but increasing number of Iowans who have converted from Christianity or Judaism or atheism to Islam. In 1980, when she joined the Muslim community in the Quad Cities, she was the only convert she knew. Today, she estimates there are 25 in the area who have made the switch. For Killinger, the path to Islam began over long dinners with Muslim students at Iowa State. She found their views about religion matched her own.
I think there's a simplicity about Islam. There's just the oneness of God and the belief that all of the prophets had an important message. I think that brought a lot of comfort to my heart.
She says she was always troubled by the way Christians raised Jesus above the other prophets, such as Moses and Muhammad. Muslims don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. They say there is only one Allah, and Muhammad was his last messenger. Killinger kept her move toward Islam secret from her parents. When she finally sat down with them, she tried to assuage any concerns they might have had.
I said, well, I'm trying this faith on, and if I see things about it that don't seem to jive with my beliefs, then I may leave it. And I'm 32 or 33 years Muslim now, so I think it's stuck.
Most of the converts to Islam Killinger knows are women. She believes from its earliest days the religion protected the rights of those who felt oppressed. That may be one reason many African-American men are also drawn to it. A Des Moines politician and social activist is among the black men who have converted. Former school board member and current legislator Ekayo Abdul-Samad was raised a Baptist. But he says he eventually became influenced by the Nation of Islam, a movement of African-American men founded in 1930.
When Elijah Muhammad, God rest his soul, started the Nation of Islam, he started it to uplift the black community because of the problems within the black community, which unfortunately we are still facing today.
Abdul-Samad operates a social service agency in Des Moines called Creative Visions. It's aimed at lending a hand to young blacks. When he was younger, Abdul-Samad was deeply involved with the Black Panther Party. He says when he discovered Islam, he found something that was missing from his life.
I like the discipline, you know, of Islam and, you know, the different rituals, which I mean the five prayers a day, the fasting, the trip to Mecca, and the description of charity, giving, zakat.
Abdul-Samad went on to become an imam at a Des Moines mosque. He no longer serves in that role, but he says it never got in the way of his political and community involvements.
I didn't change as a person. You know, I changed as a discipline. I didn't try to shove Islam down anyone's throat or tell them they're going to hell if they don't accept Islam. You know, I still maintain relationships, and over the course of years, I was able to build that.
The number of Caucasian men who have converted to Islam is far fewer. One of them is Michael Toner of Iowa City.
For me, it actually kind of seemed like a kind of freedom because I didn't have to go through any mediators or any clergy or anything like that. It felt like that. I mean, I was in control of, you know, my own faith, my own religion, and for me, that seemed kind of liberating.
Toner was born in Bettendorf, raised Catholic, and moved to Germany with his family when he was 13. He says he thrived under the concept of personal responsibility. Still, he sometimes struggles to stay faithful.
Little everyday to day things, you know, like don't eat pork, which is, you know, sometimes hard to do, especially, you know, in Iowa where, you know, pork is very common. Also, you know, no alcohol, things like this. I mean, definitely I would say my life has changed, you know, for the better.
But there are plenty of Americans who find conversion to Islam a national threat. A congressional hearing last month drew attention to concerns about jailhouse conversions. The top Republican on the House Homeland Security Committee is investigating why prison inmates are sometimes inspired to join radical forms of Islam while behind bars. Representative Peter King of New York says the worry about these violence-prone prisoners plotting against the U.S. once they're released is real. Lisa Killinger understands her adopted religion has its critics. That's why she has wavered in the past about whether to wear a hijab or headscarf.
At some point along the line, I lost my nerve to wear the scarf. I was raising four children on my own, and I was the sole provider for them. And I thought, oh, maybe if I have this thing that outs me as Muslim, it's not a very popular thing to be in America. I thought maybe it might disadvantage me somehow.
Today, she does wear it. Her bosses at Palmer College of Chiropractic in Davenport, where she teaches, encouraged her to don a scarf as a sign of diversity at the school. She says she also wanted to provide a role model for a young Muslim woman in one of her classes who seemed isolated from her fellow students. She says, however, since 9/11, many more Muslim women have questioned whether it's safe to cover their heads. Killinger wants to demonstrate the faith she warmed to more than 30 years ago poses no threat. So at every opportunity, she talks about her conversion before church and civic groups and explains why Islam has proved to be the right spiritual path for her. In the Quad Cities, I'm Rob Dillard, Iowa Public Radio News.